singing by the youth group and the skits and the poems and all the other stuff that they done. And they all done a good, good job. And thank you so very much. And the adults that work with them, this is time well spent. And something that's really, really needed in these days, especially that we live in. Young people are still young people. There are not a whole lot of difference than it was when we were growing up. They have different challenges and different types of temptation, but exactly the same nature. It hadn't changed. What I fear today is that adults are not being the kind of adults that we ought to be in front of these children and by these children and with these children. And so we need to make sure that we do all we can to give them the right instruction. And by all means, we need to do everything we can to give them the kind example that they need to see. I go back when I was a young boy, and I remember the examples that we had in our family and those in our community. I didn't go to church much. I'm sorry, but I didn't go to church very much. But we had people in the community that were examples. And so and children still need that. You know, they're still people just like we were when we were growing up. Okay, our scripture lesson tonight is in the book of John, of chapter number 1. And want to start reading with verse number 19 and read down through verse number 28. A lengthy scripture lesson. I may not preach that long, but it's a good lesson. And I want to read it so you can get what I want to talk to you about tonight. Stand with me, if you will, for the reading of the word, John chapter 1 and verse number 19. And this is the record of John. Now, this John that he's talking about here is John the Baptist. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us, what sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, and whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." And these things were done in Beth Arba beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege tonight to be back in the house of the Lord, and ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your servant to help me, Lord, to preach the gospel just like you would have it to be preached, Lord, to this congregation that's here tonight. And thank you for these young people, and Lord, for what they mean to our church, and pray that you'd bless their lives and those who work with them, that you'd just be with them and help them to do a good job. And we believe that they will, Lord, and we just pray that you'd bless us as we worship you together tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. A question, the same question asked by the same people to the same person two times in this short passage. In verse number 19, these people that came from the priests and the Levites asked John the Baptist, "Who art thou?" And down here in verse number 22, they ask him again, "Who art thou?" Tell us something. These priests and the Levites is wanting to know what you're doing out here. Now remember that John the Baptist was one that came preaching right after the 400 silent years. We talked about that a little bit in the service this morning. Most of you young people weren't in here then, but we talked about that. Between the Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament scriptures, there's 400 years or thereabout that we just call them silent years. We don't know anything that went on, any kind of revivals, any kind of preaching, anything like that. We don't know anything about that. And there's nothing recorded in the Bible. And so this had all taken place during that time. And then all of a sudden, John the Baptist, as a young man, around 30 years old, he was about 6 months older than Jesus Christ was, and he started preaching the gospel. And it was something that was new. It was something that was unusual. And the power of God was on John the Baptist. Jesus said, born of woman, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. He was a great man, a great preacher. And his message was simple, but that's what was needed. He preached repentance, and that's the thing that's needed today. John the Baptist preached repentance. Jesus Christ preached repentance. And every preacher today that don't preach repentance is not worth the salt goes in his bread. That's pretty tough, but repentance has got to be in there. It's got to be in there. That's a part of it. So they come out. The priests and the Levites were the ones who was looking after the church in Jerusalem, the temple and the things that was going on, and so many things had gone from bad to worse, even in the church world in that day. And so they sent these people out to ask John the Baptist who he was. They wanted to know about who John the Baptist was. A lot of things took place here in these 400 years. A lot of changes was made. We think about the changes that is made in 400 years. Now, I know the time is moving a lot faster than it used to. It took a long, long time for man's knowledge to double. When you go back and read this, what history we got on it, it took a long time for man's knowledge to double. But now it takes almost no time. With the advancement of the technology and all these other things, it don't take very long. Think about the things that's happened since America has been. 1492, was that when Mr. Columbus, I wasn't here. Was you here? John, thank you, John, for giving us that bit of information. Sorry about that, John. He was a nice guy. You ask for it, you get it, I'll tell you right now. And you ask for it, you deserve it, I'll tell you when you do get it. But anyhow... But think about the things that happened since America has been here. There were no cars. There was no airplanes. There was no radios. There were no TVs. There were no Nintendo games. No money. No money. Hey, that ain't changed much someplace. Think about that. The medical field has come forward. Almost no surgery whatsoever was performed in those days. Hundreds of people died with acute appendicitis, where I can remember one man that went into the hospital in the last probably 20 years is the only one that I can remember that went in to have his appendix removed, and he liked to die. He liked to die before he got there, and I can't remember who it was. Saved my life now, but he got all right. He went in, and he had to stay. Anymore, they just take your appendix out with something else, I understand, a lot of times, But none of that went on, and people died from that, didn't know it. They didn't know about it. They did the best they could do. But a lot of changes took place. A lot of changes had taken place from the time in 400 years. America's been here about 500, a little bit more, but it's been here a long time. We've known about it since then. But a lot of changes had taken place. And John was preaching here in this place that it talks about, and that's near Bethany. You remember that there was a family lived there, Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus evidently lived together. They lived at Bethany, a village in there close to Jerusalem. And John was baptizing at this place. And so these priests come down, they sent these people down, the messengers. And in verse number 19, they came down and said, the Jews have sent us and they want to know who you are. And he confessed, he says, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the Christ. John the Baptist said, I'm not the one you're looking for. He said, I'm not him. And they ask him, he says, what then, art thou Elijah? He said, no, I'm not Elijah. Elijah must first come. Jesus said that it was John that played the part of Elijah, that he was the one that done that. But John says, my name is not Elijah. I'm not. And they said, are you that prophet? Some was looking for Jeremiah or one of the other prophets perhaps to come and break the ice and get this work going. And it had been a long, long dry spell as far as church work was concerned. And he answered, no, I'm not that man either. And then they said unto him, who art thou? We've got to have something to take back to the priests and the Levites. They're going to be very upset with us if we go back with no answer whatsoever. And what do you say about yourself? Who in the world are you anyway? Tell us something so we'll have an answer to give to these people when we go back. Got to have an answer of some kind. Tell us what to say. And John said here in verse number 23, he said, I'm the voice of one. I don't think sometimes that we put enough emphasis on the single person, one person. D.L. Moody made the statement when he started out as a young man in the ministry that the world is yet to see what God can do and will do with one individual that will be wholly and totally, completely consecrated and dedicated to God. And D.L. Moody made the statement, he says, by the grace of God, I'd like to be that man. America has not known a greater preacher, in my opinion, than D.L. Moody. He's been gone for years, but he was a wonderful, wonderful preacher. And that's the truth. D.L. Moody didn't have the credentials to get that kind of name, nor to have that kind of ministry. When he got saved, he tried to join the Presbyterian Church, and they turned him down. They talked to him. When he went to school, he didn't learn a whole lot, and he had a hard time with reading even the scriptures. And they talked with him and gave him some papers and some stuff, and told him to go back home and study these and come back sometime later about taking membership with the church. And he finally got into the church. Never was ordained. And that was probably by choice. He said he didn't feel like it would do any good for people to put empty hands on an empty head and pray, so he didn't think that would do any good. With them empty hands and an empty head. So he just went on and preached the gospel of the Lord. But he was one man. D.L. Moody started out, he was one to the Lord, by the way, by an individual. Not in church. He didn't get saved in church. He got saved in the shoe shop where he was working. This man that was his Sunday school teacher came to the shoe store and witnessed to him, and he gave his heart to the Lord. And D.L. Moody, he called it renting the back pews of the Presbyterian Church or whichever church he was going to at that time as a young man. And he got so many pews in the back that was assigned to him. And he'd go out during the week and he'd find the winos and the people who lived on the street and the men, whoever they were. And he'd go out and talk to them and get them to come in and fill those pews up every Sunday with those people to hear the gospel. He was a great man. a great man. But he didn't have the credentials. John the Baptist didn't have them either. His clothing was kind of unusual. He had rough clothing. His food was locusts and wild honey. I don't know how that tastes. The honey is all right, but I like mine on hot buttered biscuits. not on locusts. I don't know the locusts, what they're talking about when they're talking about the locusts. But anyhow, he survived on it. He says, I am the voice of one man crying in the wilderness. They say, preacher, what can the voice of one person do in the wilderness? See what John the Baptist got started. Now, John wasn't in the wilderness. He was down here in the villages and the places round about where there was water and he was baptizing. And he says, but I'm just the voice of one. That's all I can do. You know, that's all God expects out of us, just to be who we are and what he wants us to be. But I'm just a voice of one in the wilderness, crying in the wilderness. And by the way, this word crying is not talking about shedding tears. It's talking about the crier, you know, the newspaper, the newsboy, the crier went out, the herald. That's what he's talking about, giving out the message. He says, and the message is mixed straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. He said, that's what I'm saying. I'm just one of the voice of one crying in the wilderness, that you make straight the way of the Lord. Another place, one of them says, to prepare the way of the Lord, I believe. As the prophet Isaiah said, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And this is another religious group of people that day. But he let the people know who he was. And they went on and talked to him about why he was baptizing folks, if he wasn't the Messiah, and if he wasn't the Elijah, and he wasn't the other prophet that they were looking for. And said, why do you do this? And John says, I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. The Lord Jesus Christ maybe been present, and I believe the Holy Spirit was with John. The Bible says the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of heaven has been preached. And he says, I baptize you with water, and there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who's coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. And these things were done in Beth Arba, and that's a place that was here, maybe the same place as Bethany, the place out there where Martha and Mary and Lazarus live. And I want us to think tonight about who are we. Think about our own selves and what we've done in life and what we plan to do. How can we make a difference in life? Billy Sunday was called to preach. Billy Sunday got saved. He went by a place or a church or something other, and they sung that song that his mother used to sing, if I remember correctly, and he was listening to that song and went in and listened to the message and got saved, and the Lord called him into the ministry. He was a professional baseball player. Back at the turn of the century, the 20th century, I guess, I don't remember just what year it was, but anyhow, back in the early 1900s, and he had a real good job, was a real good baseball player. And the Lord called him to preach, and he was making a good salary, an excellent salary for that day. And he was going to go to work as a baseball player for a lot less money, or preaching rather, for a lot less money, and whatever he could do. And some of his friends told him, some of his teammates says, you're crazy to quit this to go into the ministry. And I remember reading in one of his books of some of the things that happened to a half a dozen or so of those folks that told him that he was crazy, and what happened to their lives. And their lives didn't go very long, and their lives were totally messed up. and perhaps all of them died lost. And he told about that in one of his books. But Billy Sunday preached the gospel. He gave up the big league baseball life and preached the gospel. And one man was writing about Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday was in my opinion, a top-notch preacher. I never heard him, never heard a tape of him. But what I read in the books and what I hear about him and what I hear about other people say about him. By the way, the local paper had a write-up, I believe, a week ago about Billy Sunday. He was down here in Bristol and helped a revival meeting back many years ago. And they were reminiscing on some of these things. But this man was writing about Billy Sunday. He says probably the worst thing you could say about Billy Sunday in his ministry was that sometimes he got carried away in his antics. You know, he was evidently very funny. And sometimes he would run the bases like it was on a baseball diamond on the stage. And they said when he got through preaching that his suit would be wringing wet with sweat. He was really into the ministry. And this person says the worst thing you could probably say about him that he got carried away sometimes in his antics, his actions. But says the best thing you could say for him, he reached a million souls for the Lord. That's one man, Billy Sunday. Very few people even knew about him. Very few churches that you can go in that's been established, that's got a person that's been there for a while or a preacher that's been preaching for a while that you wouldn't talk, if you mentioned Billy Sunday's name, he'd know who he was talking about. He'd know who you was talking about. That was one person. I'm not Elijah, you're not Elijah. I'm not that prophet, and you're not that prophet. But we are somebody. Everybody is somebody, every person. I remember a story in the Sunday school seminar that they was talking about, and they was encouraging the people, you know, the teachers, to be patient with the children, the little fellows, you know, that you'd have to get them out from under the table three times in one class, get them off the table four times, set them down in their chair, you didn't keep count of it. But says, be patient with that little fella. Said he may wind up down the road being your pastor. You see, we're one person. Everybody is one person. And so they asked John the Baptist again, who are you? And John says, I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He was just one person. That was all. But he made a difference. And every one of us as individuals is just one person. We count as one. We count as one. And every one of us is somebody. And every one of us, until we leave this world, is going to be somewhere in this world. We're going to be somewhere. We need to learn to make use of our talents and our abilities as a Christian, wherever we are. You need to use that. You say, preacher, but I'm not a preacher. God probably didn't want you to be a preacher. He would have called you, or he will, if the time and when the time is right. Everybody don't need to be a preacher. You see, there are some people that I won't be able to reach by ministering and preaching in the church. But you'll be able to reach in your work, or as a friend, or with the group that you're associated with at school, or a club that you're involved in. You'll be able to reach somebody with the gospel. The gospel's not hard, just tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. The messages in the Bible are simple messages. Simple messages to the point. One crying in the wilderness. I want to be one to tell somebody about the Lord. And we need to keep that in the back of our mind every day of our life, that there's somebody that needs to hear about Jesus. I really enjoyed that tape, John, that you let me borrow. as long as I'm not preaching on bootlegging, I may get Luke to put that on a CD. I don't have a tape player in my truck. But I didn't get it finished up. I don't know exactly what happened, you know, in all of it. But one person, he was one person crying in the wilderness, but somebody needed to hear about the Lord. By the way, Philip, you know, over in the book of Acts, Philip left Samaria with a great revival. Looked like the whole town was going to get right with the Lord. And Peter and some of the others come down there and was talking to him and had more advanced knowledge of the gospel, and they was preaching to him, and the Lord just spoke to Philip and said, Philip, I want you to go down to the way to the desert, down towards Gaza, and got a man down there I want you to witness to. One person was who he went down to witness to, and that was the Ethiopian eunuch that was a servant. Of the queen of Ethiopia, and he'd been to Jerusalem to worship, but he wasn't saved, and on his way back home he got saved. And it was because that Philip was willing to leave a town where it looked like everybody's going to get saved and go down there and talk to one person.